We're well acquainted with the Last Supper, but not as well acquainted with the Last Breakfast. You see, the Last Supper was prepared by the disciples. The Last Breakfast was prepared by Jesus himself. Remember? On the shores of the Sea of Galilee. What we're interested in this morning is what happened after breakfast. You'll find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. The Message version says, "After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Master, you know I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' He then asked a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' 'Yes, Master, you know I love you.' Jesus said, 'Shepherd my sheep.' Then he said it a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, 'Do you love me?' So he answered, 'Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you.' And Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Notice what the questions aren't. "Simon, son of John, do you believe in the Sabbath? Simon, son of John, do you tithe faithfully? Simon, son of John, do you understand prophecy?" Now, that's all included, but the question was, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Master, you know I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." The second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Master, you know I love you. Shepherd my sheep." The third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." Do you see the close and vital connection between loving God and loving his people? And those piercing questions come directly to us. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me with all your heart? If you do, you will see your responsibility to his people, to his sheep. My favorite author has penned this: "Christ mentioned to Peter only one condition of service. Do you love me? This is the essential qualification. Though Peter might possess every other, without the love of Christ, he could not be a faithful shepherd over the flock of God. Knowledge, benevolence, eloquence, zeal are all essential in the good work, but without the love of Christ in the heart, the work of the Christian minister is a failure." And then there's this added commentary: "The love of Christ is not a fitful feeling, but it's a living principle, which is to be made manifest as an abiding power in the heart." And the Word of God says that we're confused, we're all mixed up, if there's anyone we really don't love. Do you believe that? I hope you do, because that's what God says. "He that loveth not knoweth not God." Well, let's look at an earlier passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Notice verse 14 particularly, a very short verse. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Are you thankful for that this morning? Amen. He knows you. He says, I know my sheep. I know you. Do you remember how Oprah did it? You get a car, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. He knows you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and it's our privilege to know him. What do you say? The two great principles of all religion and life, according to Jesus, are these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'd like to submit to you this morning that those we know best, we love best. Isn't that so? I know I sure love the one I know best. Next February, just a few days away, we'll mark our 50th year together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wasn't it our Lord himself who expressed that? Let's look at the writings of John and notice how it's beautifully expressed in John 17, verse 3. Jesus goes so far as to say this, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He said, that's it. That's the summation. This is eternal life. To know me and to know my Father. And then in 1 John chapter 4, he writes this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And notice the last phrase, knows God. Can we say that together? Knows God. Let's try it again. Knows God. And it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:8. You believe that? And the chapter concludes by saying it's impossible to hate your brother and love God. You can't do it. He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. 1 John 4:21. Okay, well, we're talking about pastoring this morning, or parsoning, as we've coined it in the bulletin. What is a parson? Well, it's a different word for pastor. How many of you have ever heard a pastor called a parson? Yeah, in the days gone by, a parson was quite a familiar term. It's not generally used today. It survives primarily today in referring to where a pastor lives. It's still called a what? A parsonage. Now, some of you may not be aware that the Piedmont Park Parsonage is the present Montessori school across the street from the church. How many of you knew that? How many of you didn't? Yeah, that's what it was. That used to be the parsonage. That's where the Piedmont pastor would live. And when I was a student at Union College, the parson or the pastor of the Piedmont church was the one who baptized me, Elder Perry Green. And he lived there in that parsonage. So what does all this have to do with parsoning? What's the primary responsibility of parsoning or pastoring? We need to know, for without a clear focus, a minister is left with the very frustrating job of expectation meeting, merely doing what others think he should be doing. And this dilemma has been cleverly described in a little book with the interesting title, How to Murder a Minister. It was written by Pastor X. And if you ever read the little book, You'll know why he had to write it anonymously, for it's very frank. And in his book, he describes the dilemma with a simple illustration of a goldfish in a round bowl of water. He says, if you observe a goldfish in the water, it will quickly dart toward any object that approaches the bowl. And if you place your hand on one side of the bowl, the goldfish will make a beeline for your finger. If you move it to the other side, he'll dart there. And Pastor X says, a pastor without a clear focus is in that position. Merely darting from expectation to expectation, frustrated, never able to accomplish everything that everyone expects him to do. By the way, it was very interesting when my wife Bonnie tried to find a copy of this book to buy for me. She would go from bookstore to bookstore asking for a book on how to murder a minister. And she would quickly add, now, it's not what you're thinking. I'm married to a minister. And I'm sure that cleared it up. Well, rest assured, a minister must have a clear focus or he'll be miserable, frustrated, and ineffective. So what should be the minister's primary focus? May I suggest an answer, a rather novel one? How about his sheep? Now that's novel, isn't it? His sheep! Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? Jesus agrees with that. We find in the Word of God it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Over and over again, Jesus put those already in the fold at the head of the list for ministerial labor. And I believe that this is even true of the classic story of the 99 in the Gospel of Luke, there in Luke 15. It says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing and comes home, calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my sheep, which was lost. Please notice that the lost sheep was his. It's my sheep. He owned all 100.